From WNYC Studios, it's Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast. It's Friday, July 8th. We turn to the plight of WNBA superstar Brittney Griner, who has been detained in Russia since February 17th on drug smuggling charges. She allegedly had two cannabis-derived vape cartridges in her luggage when she entered that country, an amount that, let's face it, in most states in the U.S. would be considered merely for personal use. But she faces up to 10 years in prison. And in a major development, yesterday, during the second hearing in her trial, Griner pleaded guilty. Here's a clip of her plea before the judge with her Russian interpreter.
I would like to plead guilty on the charges.
Я хотел бы признать себя виновным по обвинениям, предъявленным мне.
But I had no intention on breaking any Russian law.
So the good news there is that some analysts are saying the guilty plea may be a route to getting Griner released sooner in some kind of prisoner exchange. He does seem like a political prisoner to many Americans paying attention to this. Joining me now, Terry Jackson, executive director of the Women's National Basketball Players Association. That's the union for the WNBA players. And Kavitha Davidson, sports writer and correspondent on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. Terry, welcome to WNYC. And Kavitha, welcome back.
Thank you.
Terry, I see you're a lawyer and have been a law professor before becoming the WNBA Players Union rep. How do you understand yesterday's guilty plea?
You know, I've been saying for a while that Russia's process is its own, and it's not one that we can compare to our own legal system, and so we can't look at it and try to square it that way. I'm hopeful that this keeps the Russian process moving forward, hopeful to see a resolution that gets us to a point where our government can do all that it can to get BG home. When I heard that guilty plea, it wasn't one that I had anticipated, wasn't sure where this was going to go. But I got to tell you, I admired BG very much in that moment. She showed, you know, incredible bravery. And what I'm also hopeful for, that in addition to that, this process keeps moving forward, that she has shown the compassion and mercy that she deserves. And so that's where we are at this point. Russia's process is its own, and not much that we can predict on what's next, but hopeful that this keeps moving forward, hopeful that she has shown the compassion and mercy that she deserves, and we'll just see where we go from there.
Kavitha, Griner's attorney told Reuters yesterday, we, as her defense, explained to her the possible consequences, meaning of her guilty plea. Brittney stressed that she committed the crime out of carelessness, getting ready to board a plane to Russia in a hurry, not intending to break Russian law. So, I don't know. On the one hand, that's like the excuse that everybody gives. Oh, I put the cannabis in my luggage by accident. But can you talk a bit more about the context of this guilty plea as you see it? And for that matter, the charges for just these two vape cartridges, which seem so extreme by modern standards?
Yeah, I mean, I think extreme is exactly the word. If you look at the proportionality of what she's been charged with and what she's facing, up to 10 years in prison, for something that, as you said, over here would be in states where cannabis is not legal, a slap on the wrist, a ticket, no jail time, and it's legal in a lot of states in the U.S. So I can see how that mistake might have been made. The guilty plea, as far as I understand it, is in the hopes of expediting the process of what is usually a very long trial process. And as Terry mentioned, it's Russia's process. It's not what we as Americans think of as a a judicial system. 99% of trials in Russia end up in convictions. So I think the hope is that this speeds this along. She's, you know, not being kept in particularly great conditions. And I think the hope is just that this will give Russia an impetus to start negotiations for what is likely going to be a hostage or prisoner swap.
Some new sources are, I guess, speculating that this guilty plea was strategic, that Greiner is hopeful that the Biden administration will engage Russia in a prisoner swap. Can you tell us more about what we know about that so far? Like, who does Russia want back? And is the Biden administration reluctant to give whoever that is in exchange for Brittany Greiner?
Well, the U.S. in general tends to be reluctant to engage in prisoner swaps. In this particular case, it's heightened because of how heightened tensions are between Russia and the U.S. The person that most people think Russia is looking for a swap for is a guy named Victor Boot, also known as the Merchant of Death. He's a global arms dealer who's currently serving a 25-year sentence in the United States. It's frankly not a one-to-one swap. What Brittany Griner is accused of doing is in no way anywhere near an even swap for what Victor Boot has been convicted of. But it does seem as though that's the deal that Russia is hoping to get done. On the other side, you know, Russia does also have other Americans in their custody right now. The name that is most prominently out there is Paul Whelan, a former Marine who's being held in Russia on what we believe are false espionage charges. So I think that some experts that I've talked to have said that in the hopes of getting Brittany Griner back, that they can also get Paul Whelan back. Paul Whelan's family has been very vocal about how Brittany Griner's situation has brought light and brought attention to the plight of other Americans that are being detained abroad. But I think at the end of the day, it makes me very uncomfortable to talk about the proportionality or the value of swapping one person for another, because Brittany Griner is a human being and an American, and she and Paul Whelan both deserve to be home.
Louise in Ocean County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Good morning. It's nice to have the WNBA representation there on your show, Brian, because these women and that whole institution has not gotten the proper props that it deserves, you know. And, you know, the reason I'm calling is I hope that, you know, from this lesson that BG has demonstrated for us, you know, that the WNBA actually, you know, watch these girls and protect them and know that if they're going international, this is why they call America the land of the free, that you cannot be, you know, bringing, transporting, bringing back, buying, whatever it is in other continents, because this is the situation that we're in now, not to mention now it's like a political, international, we're swapping, you know, prisoners for, you know, a person who wanted to vape. It's like, no, but it's their car. Like, it's playing poker with your life. And I just feel that, you know, with the WNBA and the Women's Soccer League and all that stuff, we're trying to make strides here so that they can be on an even ground with the men. And here we are being punished, you know, for trying to make extra money. If the girl was making what she's supposed to be making here in America in the first place, she wouldn't be over there in Russia. And that's just my two bits. And I go WNBA. I'm a longtime fan of Liberty, going back to MSG, and we still have not met with the men as far as economics. And BG is just an example of what not to do. And let's take care of our women here in America then. Stop trying to put us down. I mean, it's a whole thing with women now. I mean, look what already with Washington. Now Biden has to save the day or try to or whatever the case is. And, you know, every problem is Biden's problem. That's a whole nother story. But going back to the WNBA, like, we should be on equal footing as far as financial and pay and keep these women home.
Thank you so much. Louise, thank you for all of it. You should have your own show and bring so many important issues into that. And Terry Jackson is the WNBA union rep. Let me throw that to you. You know, I could ask you a particular follow-up question or two, but where do you want to enter after Louise?
You know, Luis said a lot. There's so much there. First of all, let me just say I appreciate Luis's passion. I appreciate her fandom. And she's, you know, she being a true fan of the Liberty going back to Madison Square Garden. So she knows what she's talking about. She's got a lot of strong feelings and opinions about this. And I appreciate all of that energy. Louise, don't let us down, you know, stay with us on this. And she's right. She's right. As proud as I am of the 2020 CBA that we negotiated, you know, I recognize that, you know, when it came to salary and overall compensation, but particularly salary, we've got to do more, we've got to do better. And so, you know, we've got our eye on what's next. We accomplished a lot in this CBA. There's a lot to be proud of. But we knew then and we know now that there is more work ahead. So Louise and to others, I'm working on it. Trust me, the opportunity to, you know, increase their pay, increase their salary. And I want to be very specific about the words that I'm using. Salary, is my ultimate objective and goal. You know, this is a pay equity or inequity for that matter issue. When you think about why BG was there, BG told her wife, Sherelle, she told her teammates that she didn't even really want to go overseas this year, that this would be the last year because of the toll on the body and the opportunity just to be home with family after the WNBA season ends. Like, that's what she was looking forward to. So the fact that this has happened weighs heavily on me, considering that and the decision making, the calculus that went into it. But at the end of the day, and I don't know the exact number, but I believe it's over $1 million. You know, that was that opportunity for her. And so she couldn't turn that down to be a professional athlete, and particularly a woman. You know, the window for making money is a short one. And so they look to maximize that. They also look to maximize the opportunity to develop their game, you know, in a longer season than what they have in the WNBA. So there's all of that. The resources and the experience that they have overseas, as I've been learning, you know, when they go to Turkey or France or Spain, to Israel, to Australia, is very different than in the W. Again, we've got work to do, and I've got my eye on the ball. I'm committed to that.
Terry, can you tell everybody? Go ahead. You want to finish a thought? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to finish this. But to honor BG and to do right by my members, we have to have the honest conversation about pay equity, about investment in this sport, about changing the business model, doing more for marketability, bringing in more corporate partners that align with who we are and the values of the women of the W. To be Black, to be brown, to be a woman, to be a working parent, to be a member of the LGBTQ community or an ally of that community, those are our superpowers. And so we need corporate partners that understand that and align with that and want to maximize who we are as W players. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting. Could you tell everybody what Brittany Griner makes? I mean, for much of the audience, as you well know, they never heard of Brittany Griner until this incident with Russia. But she is maybe the best player in the WNBA. People say maybe the best player ever in the WNBA. So when we're talking about a GOAT, a possible greatest of all time, what does that translate into to dollars for Brittany Griner?
Right. So, you know, salaries in the W, you know, a max salary could look, depending on where you are and your team and where they are in the cap, could look, you know, somewhere like $230,000 to $260,000. Like, that's what we're talking about. And that's what I'm saying when I talk about the salary. There are opportunities to additional compensation opportunities through team marketing agreements, through league marketing agreements. There are substantial, you know, additional substantial dollars. But that's why I'm focused on salary, because those additional compensation dollars through those marketing agreements aren't going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to get a league marketing agreement that could be $100,000, $200,000. Not everybody's going to get that. So that's why I've got to focus on, and we've got to focus on the salary cap, the increased investment that provides those additional dollars to raise all boats.
How do you think we get to more popularity for the WNBA? If we assume that the quality of the fan experience is the same as men's NBA, if only people would get invested, if only people would know the players to have the relationships with, like, I think, you know, sports fans, we root for the people who we know on our teams. And when people know Brittany Griner, you know, they become fans of her team in Phoenix. When people know LeBron James, they become fans of his team, et cetera, et cetera. How do you get there? How do you get more of a fan base than you have? It's starting in some women's sports. Women's soccer, arguably, at the highest level, is more popular than men's in this country now. The top tennis players can draw as much of a crowd in some cases. How do you get there in more sports?
Well, I love this question. I'm the wife of a former NBA player and retired NBA player. I'm the mother of a current NBA player. I have a perspective being in the seat that I sit as the union rep, as the union lady, you know, for the W. I see the opportunities that are in men's sports, where they have come from, where they are now. I don't look to compare, and I say this all the time to my members, but I say we see what's possible for us. I don't know that the fan experience is the same. I think there's the opportunity to grow the game and increase the investment so that in-game experience looks different. And for those fans who are watching on television, that their broadcast experience is different. First of all, let's make sure that it's not hard to find a game. Let's increase the broadcast windows and opportunities for our fans in different parts of the country to see the games. You know, because in the bubble, in the 2020 year, we learned that when you made more games available, then you saw more fans, you saw the viewership rise. We had the best ratings in the 2020 season, in the bubble season that all professional sports had. We had the best ratings of any sport, man or male or female sports. And we were really pretty proud of that. And we laughed when we heard, you know, our counterparts in men's sports kind of lamenting that their ratings were down. But they said, but that's because we had to go against all the other sports that were coming back at the same time. And we laughed at that because we said, this is when we play all the time. We're always competing against hockey or against baseball or football or college football towards the end of our season. And nobody has given us a break. But if you increase the opportunities, the broadcast windows, if you put the games on television, you will have increased viewership. If you don't, then you're looking to create, you know, to create a an obstacle that we can never get over. So I also say that if you go to a game in person, if you are in arena, our players are the most accessible players. Probably a little too accessible because I get concerned a little bit about their safety, but they are so giving of themselves. You see their personality, and it's just an incredible experience. If you go to a W game, you are a fan. If you have the opportunity to go to a game in person, you will become a fan because what they do on the court will resonate with you. You will find them so relatable. Immediately. That's what we can do. There's what I see from my seat, the position I have personally, the one that I have professionally. I see so much opportunity and possibility, but we need to have partners who are willing to come in with us and make it happen.
Terry Jackson, Executive Director of the Union, representing the WNBA players, and Kavitha Davidson, correspondent and writer with HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. Thank you both so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.